What's up, guys? This is True to the Blue Podcast. I'm Philip.
And I'm Josh. What's up?
Nothing much. Today we're going to talk about the Colts because, you know, this is True to the Blue Podcast. We're all about the Colts. I'm not going to talk about too much of the first couple weeks of action, but we're really going to head into the Falcons game and our expectations for the upcoming Raiders matchup. First, I want to say, I want to ask you, Josh, what do you think were our keys to victory for that win against the Falcons?
I think the biggest key to the win was Jacoby Brissett being extremely accurate in the first half. They jumped out to a big lead. They eliminated the offense in the first half of the Falcons. In the second half, you saw the Falcons offense start to make some really nice plays, scored a couple TDs in the third quarter. So, I mean, our defense let them go in the second half, but honestly, they were pretty impressive in the first half, I thought.
Yeah, and you really can't stop Julio Jones throughout a whole game. I will say that there's a lot of times I thought, like, guys, you got to, you know, they were hitting you in the same spot of your zone, right in the middle, like to the right or to the left. Like, they would hit that same spot on each side of the field. And it's like, guys, you got to guard that. Like, you know what's coming. I mean, he has potential to burn you, but, like, they're just that spot scene. You know what I'm talking about, right, Josh?
Well, the reason they were able to hit over the middle is because that's where Bobby Okereke is supposed to cover. And it was his first game as a starter, and he's filling in for Darius Leonard, and he was a younger guy. It's his first season. So, I mean, that's just going to come with time. His drops were a little slow. I thought he was good in the run game.
Yeah, he was a solid tackler.
I mean, in the first play of the game, he got stood up in the hole, and that opened up Freeman for a nice run. But aside from that, that was kind of his welcome to NFL moment. But I thought he did solid filling in for Darius Leonard. But his drops weren't that good into pass coverage.
Yeah, and I definitely think he's a guy that can get it done because, you know, he's pretty athletic and pretty fast. That, like you said, it'll just come with time. I'm just saying, like, it was, like, too many times, in my opinion, where Julio Jones had, like, just, like, the perfect spot. It'd be one thing if you're, like, contesting his catch. Like, that touchdown he had, that was pretty contested. That's just Julio Jones being himself. But, like, just letting him have that open spot in the zone, you know, that's just...
No, I understand. I mean, but he's using his speed to get open, and then Matt Ryan is such a good quarterback that he can read a defense and knows where to go with the ball. Now, I agree. They should have switched up their zone and gone to a different coverage, gone to, like, cover three, cover four, you know, something like that. Try and limit those over the middle plays. But there's only so much you can do against that offense.
Yeah. I think we did a really good job stopping Calvin Ridley. Sanu, he had a couple passes across the middle. Hooper, he was balling. He was doing pretty good. He had a couple touchdowns. But my key to victory for that game was the drive where, you know, Atlanta started to rally back. They were within 3 points, and Jacoby Brissett takes the team down the field and scores a touchdown with Marlon Mack at the helm. I think that was, like, the key. But, you know, all the momentum's shifting towards Atlanta's direction, and for, you know, Brissett to stay calm and composed and to lead his team down the field on that drive was just remarkable. And I feel like that was the key to victory.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, Jacoby Brissett joined Johnny Unitas and Peyton Manning in that game for starting 16 straight completions to the start of a game. That's something Andrew Luck never did. You know, he had a great game. He was extremely accurate. He had very few incompletions. I mean, some of his passes were dump-offs, but he threw some deep balls. I mean, that throw to Eric Ebron was like a 29-yard gain.
Throw to T.Y. Hilton.
Yeah, throw to T.Y. Yeah.
Next thing we're going to talk about is, what do you think about, you talk about our defense to a stellar in the beginning, but we started to, like, go downhill, and I don't think our pass rush was near as effective as I thought it would be.
Oh, yeah, I agree. Our pass rush was very limited in that game. We didn't have a sack, did we?
If we did, it was like, you know, one of those where it took Matt Ryan has held on to the ball too long.
And then Danico Autry got hurt throughout the game, in the middle of the game.
It was like an eye injury. I think he came back in.
Yeah, but
so did Aquadine Muhammad.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that hurt our team for a couple drives. And he's our best pass rusher, but, like, you should still be able to get a sack at least some point in the game with Kamoko Touré, with Justin Houston, Ben Banigou. You know, there's some guys in there, but none of them were able to dial up a lot of pressure throughout the game.
I kind of understand it, though, because I don't think we were that that aggressive blitzing, because, you know, you don't want to send multiple guys blitzing Matt Ryan, who, you know, he can pick up on a blitz, and that leaves more guys, like less guys to guard people like Julio and Ridley. So I kind of get to, like, kind of conservative approach my Eberflus, but in a way I wanted to dial up more pressure, get him flustered. But, you know, Matt Ryan, he's the type of quarterback that, you know, kind of forces throws most of the time. Like that interception of Gethers, that was just a horrible read, horrible throw. So I feel like if we got some pressure on him, then, I don't know, you just need, like, have, like, a mixture of it, you know? Not like you don't send heat the whole game, you'll get burnt by Julio one of the plays, but, like, mix it up.
Yeah, that was Clayton Gethers' first interception of his career.
Which really surprised me. I didn't really think it was his first.
Yeah, he's been playing for 5 seasons. That was his first interception. But you're right. Matt Ryan has a big problem forcing passes, throwing it where it's not actually open, and that was why we were able to intercept him on that play.
Yeah, like there was a corner, a linebacker, a safety on his hip, and there's Gethers over the top. I was like, what are you thinking? Like, even if it was somewhat accurate, Gathers would have came over the top where the person on his hip would have batted it down. I just don't understand. But Matt Ryan, he did show, you know, second half, he lit our team up. Yeah, he pulled himself together, lit our team up. Devontae Freeman, he looked solid. They act like he didn't play that good in the beginning of the season. But I feel like that was mainly just because O-line's back banged up, and, you know, he's probably rusty because, you know, he's getting hurt and stuff. But, you know, he's one of the most explosive running backs in the league still, in my opinion. Like, he can burn somebody.
Yeah, no, he's a really strong power back. He broke a few runs off for big gains in the first half, really. He was their only person giving them anything. Because the defense was so focused on limiting the passing game in the first half that they let Devontae Freeman drive down. That's how they got their field goal in the first half. But, you're right, he's not, like, the fastest player, but he's patient. He lets his blockers get into the hole, and then he can just run through people.
Yeah, and one thing I want to get into are the injuries of this game. I want to get on the Falcons one. Keanu Neal, you know, he's one of the most highly touted safeties in the league, being a big hitter, you know, good in coverage. You know, he's just one of the top safeties, in my opinion. Last year went down week one with a torn ACL, I believe, and I don't know if it's, like, confirmed yet, but I know they're talking about him having a torn Achilles. It's really hard to see someone like that. You know, you saw him crying on the field. Mm-hmm. I don't really think they should have called that penalty on him, though.
No, I agree. I mean, it's still illegal that you can't throw your helmet, but still.
I mean, he was just going through emotion. It's not like he was, like, a negative thing towards the officials or the other team. He was just... Mm-hmm. You know, how would the officials or another player feel if, you know, beginning of the year, they fought so hard to the rehab to get back to the place they're at right now to just get their season taken away in the first couple of weeks because of another injury? It's just, I don't think it was the right thing to call. I feel like anything, yeah, you call it, and, like, they start to talk and understand the situation and, like, pick it up because everybody would have understood that. You know, you wouldn't have nobody against you if you picked up that flag. But what do you think about that, Josh?
I mean, I understand why the officials threw the flag, but you're right. I mean, it wasn't an aggressive thing, but the officials don't know that. They just have to go off of what they've been trained to do, and it's when a player throws his helmet, it's a flag. So that's why I think the flag was thrown.
I think, yeah, I agree. I think it can go either way. You can't be mad at them for calling it because, you know, it is a rule, and they're at the end of the day, they're enforcing rules. But I just feel like, you know, deep down, that's just one of those things where you're like, you know what, pick up this flag, dude. Like, I understand. And I think that's not it for the Falcons. They had some other injuries. Like, they had, like, 2 running backs get concussions, I believe. Mm-hmm. But on the Colts side, we have T.Y. Hilton that went out that quad injury again. You know, it was lingering all week. All you heard about was, oh, Hilton's questionable, but he'll give it a go. Then he catches a touchdown, like, oh, yeah. And then, like, oh, he's just probably going to the locker room because it's about the end of the first half. But then he comes out second half, and they're saying, oh, he's not going to play. Do you think that's a big concern, or you think he was just trying to rest because we thought we had a big lead?
I think he thought we had the game in the bag and he didn't want to risk getting hurt even more. I'm sure he'll be fine in 1 to 2 weeks. I don't know if he'll play against the Raiders because he wants to get healthy, and I think that's a game they think they can win even if he doesn't play. So he might not play against the Raiders, but Marlon Mack was questionable coming into the game. He played. He had some good runs against the Falcons in the first half.
Yeah, I agree. my voice is cracked. We're going to edit that out. But I agree.
I agree. Anyway, Jack Doyle had the play of the game. Well, not really play of the game, but like the play of the end the game.
Yeah, the smart, you know, he catches the ball. It wasn't that much of a risky play, but like, you know, it was pretty much the check down pass, and then he runs, and like Jack Doyle being the smart guy that he is, you know, slid to the ground, which I thought was really smart. And then we basically just ran out the clock.
Mm-hmm. Kneeled the ball down, and then that was the end of the game.
Next up, we're going to talk about, now, we already talked about the T.Y. Hilton injury, but we're going to talk about injuries and what we think is going to happen, what's going to proceed moving forward. Who do you think we're going to get back next week, and who do you think we're not going to have next week?
I mean, I mentioned T.Y. Darius Leonard, I think, will come back this week.
Yeah, I feel like concussions are like more of like a 1 week thing.
Well, concussions, it depends on how bad of a concussion it is.
But I don't think it was too major of a concussion because, you know, he didn't even come out of the game for it. He just had symptoms after the game. So I feel like you can't guarantee he's like, oh, it's just an ankle or something like that. I say he'll be good. But like concussion, and you know, that's not his will. That's just how ready he is to the doctor.
No, I mean, you're right. He didn't come out of the game for it, so it's probably not that bad of a concussion. So he probably will be back. Now, it's possible he's not because they want to stay on the side of safety, but I think he will be back by next week.
What do you think about Jabal Sheard?
I mean, he hasn't played yet this season.
They're saying he has, like, a swollen knee or something, but I just don't know. Like,
I mean,
don't you? I don't know. I don't know how significant it is. All I heard is that his knee's swollen and, like, it's been, like, 3 weeks. So.
I mean, they want to stay on the side of caution, so I understand why they're not playing him.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he's more of a run stopper than a pass rusher for our team.
Which would have been key last week against the Falcons, or yesterday, I should say, because, you know, he can plug those holes, and he's a good run stopper.
Stop the outside runs, really, is what he does.
He can rush the passer, too, when he wants to. But
he's got, like, what, 45 career sacks? Something like that.
Not too bad. Not too bad for a guy that's known as run tackler.
Run stopper.
I can't think of words today. I'm really tired. But yeah, it would be really good for us to have him back. I think his name is Josh Jacobs, right? Is the Raiders running back?
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like he's talented, and having a guy like Sheard back would be really helpful. And Leonard, because, you know, he's good in the run.
I mean, just good in general.
Yeah, Leonard, he's amazing. But we're going to talk about the matchup next week against the Raiders. What are your three keys to victory for the Colts? You do your three, and I'll do my three.
All right. My three is Jacoby Brissett needs to be accurate like he was against the Falcons. The defense needs to shut down Derek Carr. Now, he doesn't have a whole lot of receivers to go along with him, so that shouldn't be too difficult. And then pass rush. You limit their offense in their passing game, you have a good enough run stop defense that you don't have to. They're not going to have to worry about anything from that Raiders offense.
Yeah. All right. So my three, first and foremost, I want to say not to get too ahead of yourself. You know, you just beat two pretty solid teams and almost beat a third solid team week one. And now you're going into Oakland, a team who is really struggling, doesn't have as much, you know, talent as you do, doesn't have as much, you know, wins as you do. Like, they're just overall, we can say fairly that Oakland's, you know, not the better team here. So I feel like, you know, we're getting all the hype is like, oh, we just beat the Falcons, who are, you know, considered a solid team. So don't go into that game thinking, oh, we got this. You know, keep your composure, treat it like you're playing the Patriots. You know, just keep your head down, play Colts football 1-0, you know, keep consistency throughout the game. My second key to victory is getting pass rush. Pass rush is one thing that we struggled with last week or yesterday. I feel like that was one of the reasons why, you know, Julio Jones had those catches on third down, because, you know, you gave him so much time to develop the route and get open. You know, Matt Ryan's just sit back there for a good 5-6 seconds waiting for him to get open. You know, you can't expect your corners to stay on Julio that long. So I kind of take it back. You know, those kind of look bad on secondary, but it was mainly because our pass rush wasn't being effective as it should be.
There is actually one thing I want to add, and it's limiting third down conversions, because the Falcons were 8 of 10 on third downs.
Cool. My third one is, honestly, like you said, not only Jacoby being consistent, but just like our receivers contributing. You know, I feel like in our passing game, it's mainly like Hilton and our tight ends. But I want to see, you know, I want to see some deep balls to Paris Campbell. I want to see Deion Kane get some catches. And those are my three. And I also think that we need to be more aggressive going downhill with our tackles instead of, you know, letting them run past us. You know, stay on your side of the field. Don't over-pursue. Stay in your lane. You know, and really get after this Raiders offense.
Yeah, you got anything else to add about this game?
I mean, I think we're, like I said, just staying consistent and pretty much just being better on the flaw I saw last week. And like you said, being better on third down is really key, because, you know, it wasn't one of those. Most of the third downs weren't, you know, those third and two where, you know, the offense is pretty much going to convert it. But it was more like third and longs that they were getting. And like I said, that's not so much on our secondary. I feel like our pass rush just was taking too long to get there. Maybe send a blitz on a third down and long, you know, get after the quarterback, make him force a throw somewhere. That's like when I said switch it up. I feel like third and long is a down that you should get some heat. Because, like, oh, yeah, you got coverage downfield, but if you don't get no pass rush, then Julio Jones is going to eventually get open, especially in a zone defense. You know, you have gaps, not all over the place, but you got gaps he can go to, and he's a smart receiver. He knows what he's doing.
I think that'll wrap it up. I mean, yeah. This has been Tour to the Blue Podcast. Thanks for listening.
I'm Philip.
And I'm Josh.
Thank you, guys. Tune in next week. We'll talk about this Raiders game and whoever we play the next week. So, yeah, we're out. Peace.